y'all standing. John 3. John 3, let's read it. 1 through 7. Profound. You should know it. We ought to be able to look at it and not even think about it. John chapter 3, verse 1 through 7. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Amen. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Amen. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Amen. 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 Precious Father, I come to you with a questioning heart. I will have a desire, as every teacher of God's word, every minister of God's word, every pastor of God's word, their greatest concern for their people. Are they born again? Have they been born again? Do they have the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit indwelling in them? Father, I pray right now today that someone here that would examine themselves. Have I really been born again? Or I'm just a church member? Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your truth. Thank you for your love. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You know, I hear people often, they say, well, when I get to heaven, I'm going to have a conversation with Jesus. I'm going to talk to him, ask him some questions about some of the things that confuse me on earth. But Jesus has to be received in our hearts. We have to be born again if we even expect to see the kingdom of God. Now, that word see there, I really don't believe it means visually, but I believe it means, in that text, it means to understand the things of the kingdom. But if we don't understand the things of the kingdom, we won't be in that position to see Jesus, to ask him anything. Now, this lesson here was written to church folks. Jesus was talking to a religious man. I mean, Nicodemus was a religious man. He was the most religious man in town. And, you know, in Youngstown is a religious town. Okay, you ride around Youngstown, there are churches everywhere. Churches on every corner. Okay, you ride out there in Camel where Jake lived at, all them big cathedrals and big churches and cemeteries filled with church folk. Big cemeteries, beautiful, they maintain them well. Youngstown town full of religious folks. There's some religious folks up in here. Okay? Come to Bible study and pray and do all the work in the church. Just religious folks. Nicodemus was a religious folks. As a matter of fact, he was the most religious man in the town. The Bible says he was a ruler of the Jews. The word Nicodemus in the Greek means really Nike. You ever thought about Nike? They come up with their little swoosh sign. Nike really means victorious. You want to wear Nike stuff because you're going to win the game. So Nike gets his name from Nicodemus. So there's a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night. Now listen, folks, I'm not going to dwell on the night time is the right time and all that. A lot of folks come to Jesus by night, meaning they get in a situation where they need him. That's a night time for some folks. Some folks, sickness is the night time. You didn't heard the word all your life. You've done all you want to do. But when all hell break out in your life, it's the nighttime. And now you in a position to hear from God. See, some of us too healthy right now to hear from God. Okay, we doing well. We doing too well to hear from God. You know, I'm young. I don't need to hear from God because I'm doing my thing. This is going to come a nighttime. And the saying said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher. See, this is problematic. He knew who he was because he was a ruler of the Jews. He knew what the Old Testament talked about. It prophesied that he was coming and he was going to do these things. He was going to do these miracles. He was going to raise folks from the dead. He was going to heal blind eyes. He was going to cleanse the leper. He was going to do some stuff. So he knew who he was, and he called him Rabbi. We know that thou art a teacher. See, that's what Islam called him. And that's what the Mormons call him, and that's what the Jehovah's Witnesses call him. He's a good teacher like Joseph Smith. He's a good teacher like Muhammad. So Nicodemus is way off, even though he knows better. See? He said, I know thou art a teacher, come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him. He disregarded all what he said. And he said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, singular, you, Nicodemus, not the folks that you teach, not your wife, not you and your wife, not you and your wife and kids, because it's personal. Okay? Okay? And none of y'all husbands getting in heaven because your wife's saved. Amen. And ain't nobody's saved husband getting in heaven because, well, your wife ain't getting in because you saved. It's personal. And Nicodemus is being addressed by the Lord himself. He says, Verily, verily, truly, truly. See, we talk about this in Sunday school. Sometimes the truth hurts. Truth will blow you back a little bit, make you examine yourself. That's what truth is designed to do. And Nicodemus is being hit in the face with truth. And he says, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now there's questions all over. Did Nicodemus understand what he was saying? Did Nicodemus understand what being born again meant? I believe he did. I believe he did. I believe he did. And I believe after the end of this sermon, you guys are going to understand what it means. Okay? And you had to take a good look at yourself. And it's personal. Because this is a personal encounter that Nicodemus had with Jesus. And if you haven't had one, you need to make an appointment with the master. And ask him, can I have a couple words with you? But the first thing he's going to say is, listen. Pull somebody out of the crowd. Justin. He say, Justin, little Justin. He say, little Justin, you old enough to understand You know all about the Patriots, and you know all about sports, and you like talking about them, and you like ribbing the pastor about the Browns not winning a game. He said, little Justin, you understand all that, but do you understand that you must be born again? How about that? Well, he's not at the age of accountability. Let me tell you something. Okay? When you start eating off the adult menu, you old enough to understand you don't want to eat off the kiddie menu. You know some things. Now, all of us are going to be confronted with that question. Now, see, we can do like Nicodemus. See, I said this morning. That's why I don't like coming to Minister Brian's Bible studies, because every day start coming out. But I said this morning, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish. See, I can always tell who perishing in the church. See, some of y'all, well, ain't nobody listening, they ain't talking, they getting up, they walking, they doing all this stuff in church. Now listen. The preaching of the cross is foolishness to them that are perishing. Okay? See, folks that really want to hear, they ain't, listen, let me tell you something. Got the Indians in the World Series, the Cavs open up the season. Them front row seats cost you, for a Cavs game, probably cost you $10,000, $20,000. To sit up front. Now, somebody said, listen, I got a ticket on the front row of a Cavs game on Tuesday, and I got a ticket up in the rafters. Which one are you going to take? Well, put me up in the rafters. I got some new binoculars I want to try out. No. You coming right up front. You want LeBron to run up in the stands and knock you out like he did the lady last year. You want to talk to LeBron? He fell in my lap. Why we got so many empty seats up front? We ain't charging folks to sit up front. Listen, hear me now. For the preaching of the cross is to them that are perishing foolishness, but unto us that are which are saved, it is the power of God. Know why? Because I need some power. Amen. Do what I do, I need some power.
Amen.
To for any of us in here, I know what some of y'all do, traveling and raising families and being in relationships and being married. Listen, let me tell you something. It takes the power of God to be married. So y'all sit here, oh, my marriage is, oh, I'm struggling with this. You don't have no power. See? If you shouldn't be struggling with some things you say you love. Okay? You know, you ask God, listen, God, I want to glorify you in this thing. Okay, I want to glorify you at my job. I want to glorify you at Sparkle. I want to glorify you at Indian River. I want to glorify you wherever Jake work at. I want to glorify you. But it takes the power of God for you to live a life where you can give God glory. You can't give God glory with no power. Amen. Am I making any sense? Amen. Nicodemus said unto him, Nicodemus wanted to mock him. He's going to mock Jesus. Now here's the greatest teacher of all. And I say this to the teachers, because I know some of y'all are going to be teaching. We get ready to mix up these teachers and try to get this thing going, and youth classes going and adult class going. Got Minister Dunleavy and Jake going to start teaching. We're going to start teaching. Because God talked to me about it. I said, we got to teach better. Minister Brian doing a wonderful job just teaching. And we got to teach better. And here's Nicodemus. And here's the greatest teacher ever lived. Remember I told you about Jesus. He never had to say, oh, let me go look at that again. I'll talk to y'all next Wednesday. See, me and Minister Brian, we be teaching on Wednesday. Margaret asked us something crazy. Out of the blue. Well, we had to get on our phone, try to find it. Jesus didn't have to try to find nothing.
Amen.
That wasn't a question you could ask him. He didn't know.
Amen.
He didn't have to say, well, I'll get back with you. He would have answered it right there, because he's God. He is the Word of God. And now Nicodemus, he said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Ha, ha, ha. Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Ha ha ha. He's even making a mockery out of Jesus. He's trying to mock Jesus. See, if you can't take mockery, if you can't take mockery, can't take babies crying, you can't take folks who don't want to hear what you say, you might as well quit now. Amen. You might as well quit now. Listen, I don't want to hear, because folks ain't going to hear you. Amen. I know some folks here right now, don't want to hear me. You going to think you're going to stop me from preaching it?
Amen.
Listen, Jesus was mocked by this man. He was mocked by, ha, 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 Jesus. I'm going to climb up back into my mother's womb. Know what Jesus did? Watch this. Watch his response. I am the Lord, I change not. He did not change his statement. He did not change. He came in the same answer. And Jesus answered, same as verse number 3. See, folks, when you hit them with the truth, they want to come up with some crazy stuff. Try to throw you off. Yeah. No. Listen, here's his answer in verse 5. Jesus answered him a second time. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God.
Amen.
He's just relentless. Mm-hmm. See, folks, listen, they're going to come every day or come every Sunday. You know what? Jesus ain't the only way to heaven. Yes, he is.
Amen.
Yes, he is. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. That's not changing. Okay? Listen. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Now, this question you got to ask yourself. I got to ask myself. Just the verse number 7 is huge. Marvel not. Now, let me tell you why it's huge before I even start. Because Jesus just said you cannot even see the kingdom of heaven. And then he said you will not even enter the kingdom of heaven. So this has got to be, as a man or woman of God, this has got to be huge. This has got to be the most important question that was ever asked in the Bible. Okay? Now, I can go around the room. How many folks have ever heard a church or a pastor preach on, are you born again? It's rare. I've been in church a long time. I know nobody preach on this. This is huge. Lord, this is huge. Jill, this is huge. I look around the room. I said, this is huge. Little Joshua, this is huge. This is big. You know, the young people that they say, man, Pastor, you preaching big. You preaching big. This is big. This is big. Arietta, this is big. You must be born again. That's huge. Now, somebody need to be asking. I'm going to answer your question. You don't have to raise your hand. What does it mean to be born again? Why do we need to be born again? What is it that comes to being born again? Listen, baptism isn't being born again.
Amen.
Okay? You can get baptized and you can come out of that water cold and icy and unsaved. Okay? Church membership is not being born again. And you can be a good church member. Okay? Pastor Kimmerer, you say, he told me, I was the best member he ever had. See, y'all know what that means. I gave good. I shoveled the snow. I was the first one at the church, sawed it down, sitting out, pull up. You know, back then Ray was even working. Ray knew he gonna get in that sermon. He said, "I knew I got me." Listen, he said, "I was the best church member that he ever knew." How about that? That speaks to something. But you know what? I could have been the best church member he ever knew and be sitting right in hell. Because church membership don't save you.
Amen.
Reform don't save you. I mean, y'all hear people talking about, I'm reformed. You hear a reformed church. There ain't but one church.
Amen.
Okay? Ain't no such a reformed church. You hear, I'm a reformed Baptist. Listen, you either saved or you're unsaved. Okay? See, when I go on eBay, then I have an option. If I buy something, they can say, well, this you can buy refurbished or you can buy new. I want a new. Okay? I don't want to be no refurbished Christian. Okay? Listen, you know, I want a new. See? What is the new birth? Think about it. Think about it. I got all these babies in here. Think about what happened when they, the whole cycle started. What happened first? Conception. Conception took place. They were two parents got together. Okay? Male and female. Okay? And then we talk about the same thing in a spiritual birth. The Word of God and the Spirit of God come together. And in faith. Some preachers say the womb of faith. And the Word of God and the Spirit of God come together, and what was created? New life. So now we got new life. What happens to that new life? Think about this now. Now. Somebody going, I don't know. I know Shana going, she's going to be looking at me sideways, but that's cool. But it doesn't matter. The father of that child character is transmitted into that child. Okay? That you know, and there's no mystery that Jill is like she is. Because her father's character was placed in her. Amen. Now, when you are born again, the father's character, okay, is placed in you. You become a child of God. Amen. Okay, you become a child of God. Amen. Now, Jill gonna have some issues. Because see, the flesh will be flesh. Okay? The seed ain't incorruptible. She was born of corruptible seed. Now I'm not saying that, you know, I hope y'all understand what I'm saying. Okay? It's a corruptible seed. She gonna have some faults and some problems. Okay? Somebody said, Jay said she already got some, but we love her.
Amen.
Watch what Peter says. 1 Peter 1:23. Peter says this, being born again. Now you got to ask yourself, how about being born again? Because if you've been born again, not of corruptible seed, but if you've been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. How did it happen? By the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Now that's the question you guys were asking this morning. Listen, God's word ain't changing. The word of God will not change. It will abide forever. The book is canonized. It's closed. Ain't nobody adding nothing to it. Ain't nobody taking nothing away. It's closed.
Amen.
Okay? You've been saved by the word of God. Now, when the word of God and the spirit of God come together, new birth takes place. That's why I tell these ministers and I tell these teachers, preach it. Don't move. Be dogmatic. Be relentless. Be radical in your teaching if you have to be. But folks need to hear the word of God, because you cannot be saved outside of hearing the word of God. Okay? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So if we get up here and we start shaking it up and changing it up and mixing it up, folks can walk out of here thinking they saved. Okay? But you know, let me tell you something. There's a whole lot of folks, and I hope y'all, when y'all go out and talk to people and ask them, what happened when you got born again? What changed about you? What's different about you now that you have the Spirit of God living in you? Folks will be like, oh, you too deep. And you know, you're too deep. We ain't that deep. It ain't that. That's as simple as it get. Okay? Because when you found out that you was that conception had taken place, your body started growing. Things started changing. Okay? You get nauseous. I ain't been nauseous before. Now you're just nauseous all the time. Discomfort and pain. I watched Shayna just hurting all the time. I said, you was a big old baby. Always hurting and moving and sweating and all that. Because something's happening. See, you tell me you had a spirit of God in you and nothing happening. Nothing happening. Ain't nothing happening. Ain't nothing. My affections ain't changed. My desires ain't changed. I got all the same friends. I do all the same things. Well, there's a good chance. That ain't nothing ever happened. Okay? Because see, when we are born again, character, the character of God dwells in us. Let me give you a scripture. John 3:6. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. It's going to die maybe 60 years, 70 years, 80 years. Man, you know, you get to 100, you know. But that flesh is going to die. But watch what it says. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. This is why Jesus, you read Jesus throughout the Bible. He never said one of his disciples died. Okay? He never said it. You can look through the Bible. Jesus never said one of his disciples died. He said, Lazarus say he sleep. Okay? See, if you saved and know Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, I used to tell people all the time, if something happened to me, don't tell people I died. Amen. Well, you know, he died. I go, hey, what? That means I wasn't saved. Unsaved people die. Saved people don't die. We live forever. Amen. We go home. We go on home to be with the Lord. Amen. You know, I hear people say, oh, you know, my cousin died. First thing I started thinking about, was he saved? Amen. Did he know Jesus Christ? Was he born again? Did he have the power of God within him? Do you ask that stuff? John Wesley said this. He said this. He said, whenever I meet somebody, and I meet a lot of people, but the first thought goes through my head when I start talking to them, is this person saved or unsaved? Is this person saved or unsaved? That should be on our hearts all the time. As we go out into the world, we meeting all these folks. Are they saved? And then we got all this knowledge, we got all this wisdom, we got all this power, and folks are just walking right by us, going right on the hill. We just like, hey, nice to have a nice day, have a nice day. And they just drop in there, a little illustration of people just walking off a cliff, falling in the hill. You know, and the Christian in the church sitting here, and we entertaining folks, we having a good time up in here. And folks just whoop, dropping off in the hill. Here's something, and I know you guys know this, and like I said, this is almost like a review, but what are the characteristics of someone who's been born again? Think about that. You ever thought about that? What are the characteristics of someone who's been born again? Someone who has the character of God now living in them. That's what you're saying when you say you're born again. You're saying that I have God living in me. Amen. That's what you're saying when you say I've been born again. I got God living in me. There will be a love for Jesus. You won't be able to get enough. You want to hear Jesus. Here's something else that happened to you. You will have a desire to live a holy life. There you go, Pastor. That holiness preacher. You need to go to Mount Calvary, that holiness preacher. Listen, let me tell you something. Every church is holiness church. We ain't starting nothing new over there. Pentecostal church ain't got a what do you call it? A monopoly on holiness. Jesus said this in 1 Peter 1:16, because it is written. Now he's talking to saved people. Be ye holy, for I am holy. I'm holy. I'm holy. Now somebody said, well, you know what? I struggle. That's the flesh. See, you got two spirits dealing with you, dealing with all the time. That old spirit ain't gone nowhere. You dealing with it. Paul said, that which I would do, I don't do, and that which I don't do, I would do. Oh, wretched man that I am. You got a struggle on your hands when you receive Jesus Christ. It's like, you know, you got a jealous girlfriend. Going to keep messing with you. You wonder why you doing stuff. and you sinning and you doing stuff, you trying to do right. Let me read this verse to you. 1 John 3:9. Now, I hope I'm talking up to y'all. I'm not trying to talk down to y'all, because these are my questions. Okay? These are my concerns as a pastor. And I'm just sharing it with you guys. 1 John 1:3-9. Listen what it says. Now, this is interesting. Whosoever is born of God do not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. Now, folks, listen. This don't mean we're not going to sin. Okay, well, you're going to sin because you're in this flesh. Okay, Jesus wouldn't have said that. He wouldn't have told John them that, because when they asked him, "Lord, teach us to pray," one of the principles of that prayer was, "Forgive us of our sins." Okay? So what does it mean, Pastor? What are you getting out of that? Let me tell you something. That flesh is going to sin. But that Holy Spirit that's inside of you, that's when you leave, when you pass away, that Holy Spirit going on to glory, that Holy Spirit not going to sin. Amen. That Holy Spirit is not going to sin. That's because it's God's character. And if you have God in you, that flesh going to give you the blues. Amen. Okay? Amen. Big Justin, you know what I'm talking about, don't you? That flesh going to give you the blues. Amen. I can go around the room. I just called Justin out. I ain't seen him in a couple weeks. Sharon, that flesh going to give you the blues, ain't it? Sylvia? Lori? Everybody? Okay? But you understand something. You got the character of God in you. And that character of God is what's going to get you to heaven. See, you can't get to heaven without God's character dwelling in you. Now, let's take it another step. How long, Jackie, for hold carry a baby? 9 months? After 9 months, that baby is conceived. That it's time for that baby to be delivered. Okay? Now, how many times is the baby born? One time. So you got folks running around here, "I got born again. I got to get born again again." They keep coming down here sitting in these magic chairs. Let me tell you something. You're only born again once. Okay, so if you get born again twice or three times, "I got to give my life to the Lord. Oh, I got to get," you ain't been born again. Amen. Okay, you only born once. That baby's only born once. Okay, you only that thing is completed one time. One time. Watch this now. Luke 10:20. This is an interesting verse. See if you get it. "Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven." How many times he gonna write your name in heaven? One time. One time. You're not gonna have, when you get to heaven, you're not gonna have 9 Keith Neals. Well, you don't have to look, "I've been born again 9 times." Your name gonna be written one time. Okay? One time. You know, I do this a lot. I'll be using passwords, and they'll say, "You can't use the same password twice." I already used the password, so they tell me you got to change it a little bit. That one already in use. See, you only going to have one name written, okay? Now, I'm going to keep going. I got one more step about this being born again and how it relates to being born. Some of y'all graduated. Little Elmer Jr., Sr., had his commencement. Sharon, like that. Caught the blues trying to get there, but she got there. Now, at the commencement, when a baby is born, that baby is delivered. And what are you starting looking for now? Same thing. When you are born again, when you are delivered, you've been born again. What needs to be happening to somebody who says, "I've been born again"? That means you've already been conceived. The commencement has occurred. Now what happens? Somebody said it. You start growing, okay? And if, as soon as you look at your baby and say, "My baby ain't growing," then you run into the doctor, okay? The baby's eyes ain't moving. Baby's hands ain't moving. Baby don't have no appetite, see? And a lot of saved folks, a lot of Christian folks, a lot of church folks like that, Okay, I'm not going to use the R word. But it applies to that, because if your child ain't growing, ain't eating, when that doctor take his hand and do like this, and that baby that's looking straight ahead, something wrong, doctor. The baby ain't growing, and some of us ain't growing. Some of us ain't growing. Some of us, our eyes ain't moving. Our desires ain't, we don't have no desire for the milk of the word. The word of God ain't sweet to us. We don't even want to read the Bible. It's boring. Get nothing out of it. Let me tell you why you don't get nothing out of the Bible. Why the Bible is not interested in you. Because what you have is not interested in it. Okay? You can go weeks and weeks without study, without prayer, without reading your Bible. You're not born again. Now that's as loving as it gets. Because I'm trying to trigger a thought in you. Listen, am I born again? If I was born again, I would have a desire for Bible study or prayer or fellowship or Sunday school or Wednesday. I would have a desire for some private devotions. I just would. Now, Pastor, what you trying to say? I ain't trying to say nothing. I'll let the Word of God speak. Okay? It is what it is. That child, any babies in here, stop eating. Something wrong with the baby. Baby ought to be walking by now. It ain't walking. Baby 7 years old and ain't potty trained. Baby, just some stuff need to be happening when we are conceived, when we are born again. How do I get born again, Pastor? You just struck a nerve. I need to be born again. Amen. Let's go. 1 John 1. Here we go. Verse 10. He was in the world. I'm talking about Jesus. He was in the world. And the world was made by him. And the world knew him not. He came into his own, and his own received him not. Okay? Here we go. Verse 12. But as many as received him. Okay? To as many as received him. So they didn't want to turn on a football game today. Some of y'all watch football. Get a chance to. When a wide receiver go out, he turn and look for the ball coming. How's his hands? They like this. They wide open. They want to catch something. See. You ain't going to see a wide receiver turn the corner and his hand balled up. Because the ball is, you can't receive nothing when your hands is balled up. Your hands is full of other stuff. Right. Just full. You got to let some stuff go. Amen. Just what somebody was saying this morning, rich young ruler came to Jesus, he had some stuff. He couldn't receive Jesus because he had too much. Amen. He had too much. He said, I need to receive Jesus, but I got too much going on. I ain't got time for this. I ain't got time for that. I can't do this. I can't do that. And I scratched my head. Because I know this. Folks doing whatever they want to do. And if you love it, you're going to find time for it. Okay? And my schedule tight, my schedule busy. No, it's not your schedule. It's not just your schedule is tight. It's not just that you're busy. It's just that the things of God not sweet to you. The desire for the things of God not in you. And I would ask, I would just be pleading with God, because this is a heaven and hell message. This is a life or death message. God, what do I need to do? Help me. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become sons of God. God, I need power. I need the power to live for you. Make me to hear joy and gladness. Create in me a clean heart. Renew in me a right spirit. It's all there. We've been over this and over this and over this. Then you don't have no excuse. You're not going to be able to use me. Okay? See, Jesus would have had that conversation. And then I just want to cover just a couple of things, because I'm having this conversation with Jesus. Jesus, why did you have to die? He'd have told you. He'd have said, listen, I had to die. Why did I have to die? He had to die. Why? so we can live.
Amen.
So that we can live. Listen, John 3:14, the same conversation you have with Nicodemus. He said, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, crucified on a pole, on a tree. He had to. Why? So that we could live. So that we could live. Jesus Christ had to die. He would have asked that question. You had this conversation with him. He would have answered that question. Why did he have to die? To take away our condemnation. Because we was born to die. We had this conversation on Wednesday night talking about Adam and Eve in the garden. When sin was introduced to the world, we had to die. We had to die. And God, looking down on us, felt love and compassion for us. And he sent his Son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. How about that? Because we would have died in our sins. Listen, therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. In Christ. In Christ. Really what it said, Christ in you. There's no condemnation. Okay? See, when the two thieves are on the cross and the one thief looks at the other one, do you understand the condemnation we in? We are outside of God. But we have God right next to us, and we just have a few breaths left. You're going to waste them on mocking them? Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom.
Amen.
And see, some of us, the reason why we sit around here and we high and mighty, we don't think we need the Lord, because we think we got a lot of breaths left. See, we think we got a lot of breaths left. See, I talk about Minister Dave, and he lost his best friend, childhood friend, found him in the room, been dead for 3 days, 36 hours, I think. Nobody thought he was going to die. You know, he only had a whole lot of breaths left, 41 years old. You figure you at least got 20 more years of breaths left. And now gone, see? And folks is leaving. I watched the newspaper last week. NFL players, football players, just dying. Healthy, stud, just dying, see? Because we think we got a lot of breaths left. And that's why these people say, Pastor preaches so serious all the time, so such urgency all the time. I don't know another way to do it.
Amen.
Why did he die? He died to bring us to God. He died to bring us to God. Christ suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous. Amen. The just for the unjust. Why? Why? That he might bring us to God. How dare anyone stand behind this pulpit and not preach with urgency? Preach with urgency, because you don't know. Somebody may not hear me, but they may hear you. That's how Lydia was. And then she heard all these preachers, but when the Bible says when she heard Paul. Okay? Somebody may not hear me. They may hear Minister Madison. They may hear Jake. They may hear Minister Brian. We're going to just keep bombard you with sermons. Why? Because faith cometh by hearing.
Amen.
See, somebody, I'd rather see a sermon than hear one. No, that's wrong theology. That's bad theology. Now, good. I know you want to see one. I want to see all y'all walking in the power of God. But I know the word of God say faith cometh by hearing,
amen,
not by seeing.
Amen.
To give us all eternal life that believe on him. That's key. Now, I'm going to preach all next week. All next Sunday, I'm going to preach on John 3:16. So I'm not going to really mess with John 3:16 because I'm going to preach John 3:16 next week. See, y'all think I just, see Jake, they got us wake up on Saturday morning and put a sermon together. He called us Saturday night specials. See, they sent me, you know, that's why I stopped answering their texts, you know. They text me and they say, oh, you must be working on the SNL. SNS, Saturday night special. I honestly don't like to beat my own drum, but I work hard at this. And, you know, somebody says, well, I can't tell, but I do. I really work hard at it. You know, I'm not maybe as eloquent as some of these folks. But you know what? Preach the word. Yeah. Listen, here was Jesus would have said to Nicodemus. I thought this was interesting. This is an evil world. And you know what evil tried to do? Same thing that good tried to do. Evil try to do the same thing good try to do. See, Satan is a mocker. He's a copycat. Okay? The Bible says, and he has his ministers. Satan has his ministers. Just like I'm sitting here with these two ministers, Satan somewhere preaching, got a whole pulpit full of them. Okay? He has his minister. What do? They transform themselves as ministers of light. Okay? Meaning they're gonna make it sound like the truth. You know? They're gonna be preaching sermons. You know, that sounds good. He preached on why we shouldn't eat hot dogs today. No, you know, that ain't gonna save you. You ain't know why we should eat hot dogs. See, and I don't want to hear because I love hot dogs. You know? It's one of my favorite foods. I know, I got a hot dog machine I bought for the church, put it in there because I like hot dogs, you know? But you don't need to hear about hot dogs on Sunday morning. You need to hear the word of God preached with desperation. Okay, one of the old preaching preachers, I'm just a dying man preaching to some dying folks. But I don't know who might not be here next week. Amen. I might not be here next week. So, you know, somebody's church was rocked this week. They found a body outside the church on the north side. See, we didn't take our life for granted. Every church, there's many churches in burying folks this week. Burying folks this week. And they're like, how dare anybody stand up in God's pulpit and just preach, you know, some mess. Some mess. Preach with desperation. Might not preach to a lot of folks. But that's fine. Because the Bible says it's a narrow road and few be that find it. See?
Amen.
It says a wide road that leads to hell and many be on that road. And then he said, in my father's house there are many mansions. Now, wait a minute. This is the whole thing that throws me off. And there's many mansions in heaven and few that's going to be finding. I may have 3 or 4 mansions. You know, be like Benny Hinn on in heaven. Got mansions over here. Got mansions over here. Got mansions. These guys got mansions everywhere. These preachers got mansions everywhere. They got retirement homes, resorts, everything. But Jesus said there's a narrow road to lead to heaven. And few be defined, but in my house there's many mansions. Now, something wrong with that theology. Really, what he's saying to me is there's going to be a lot of empty mansions. Be a mansion with your name on it, you never show up. We live in an evil world, and evil is always trying to grab us and get us in. We live in a fallen, cursed world, and evil is just always trying to pull you in. See? Listen, this is the condemnation. John 3:19. That light is coming to the world. And our responsibility as men of God is to preach light into a dark world. And a dark world don't want to hear light. They don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear it. Some of y'all, I want to hear it. I'm tired of it already. An hour and 10 minutes every Sunday just preaching light. Be like when Doris was here, she had them dark sunglasses on. I'd be like, yeah, I'm preaching light. Doris got her glasses on in the church. I miss Doris. Somebody call her. I'm going to call her. Mess with her. Listen, this is the condemnation. Okay? This is the condemnation. This is the tribunal, or this is damnation. That light is coming to the world. Jesus is light. He said, I'm the light of the world. And men, that's me. That's these two guys. Before God saved us, it says, and men loved, it's a strong word, loved darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds were evil. Their deeds was evil. Listen, you're born into darkness, born a sinner. And if you're not born again, you're not taking that sin to heaven.
Amen.
You're not taking your sinful ways. You know, I tell the gangbangers and the ABs and the Crips and the heartless felons, they get so mad at me, they don't even come to church service no more. You know, I was like, ain't no heartless felons, ain't no Crips and Bloods, ain't no white supremacists, ain't none of them folk going to heaven.
Amen.
And there won't be no gangbangers in heaven. Nah. What do you mean? What are you talking about? What do I mean? You know, heaven is a place where God's holy people come. You can't tell me you have the character of God floating around in you, living in you, and you a gangbanger. Okay? You can't. You know, I hear people say, well, you know, I'm saved, and you know, but I ain't nothing wrong with having a beer. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. When you get saved, okay, y'all hear me now. This may not be for you. Share it with somebody. I think I shared it on Wednesday. I talk too much. Let me tell you something. When grace takes up residency in you, okay? When the Spirit of God takes up residence in you, when the power of God takes up residence in you, your flesh may love beer. But grace and mercy and the love and power of God are going to fight it. You're going to have a war on your hands.
Amen.
You're going to have a war on your hands now. And you sit here, let me tell you something. Tell me that you can just drink and cuss and steal and lie and have the power of God in you. You fooling yourself.
Amen.
Okay? You need more grace. Because see, grace is going to put up a war against evil. Because it's taking residence. Now, let me tell you something. Let me make this plain. Some may battle with that thing a long time. Okay? Paul had something going on. We don't know what it was, but Paul went to the Lord three times. He said, Lord, remove this thing from me because it's got a chance. If somebody find out about it, it's going to ruin my testimony. I won't be effective. And see, some of us got some stuff. But nobody want their closet all the way swung open. Okay? But see, the problem is not the stuff. The problem is you don't have a battle with it. You're not fighting this thing. You just going with the flow. Let me tell you something. All of us got struggle with this flesh. But there ought to be a war with that thing. There ought to be a battle going on with whatever your sin is. Okay, whatever your struggle is, you better ask God, give me the power to fight it. And if I have to fight it until the day I die, I'm going to do that. But Lord, don't leave me alone with this thing.
Amen.
Don't leave me alone with this thing. Listen, as I close, I got some more stuff, but I know when to quit. Y'all may not think I know when to quit, but I know when to quit. God gives a special instrument. Somebody said, well, listen, Pastor. How do I do this? You just spoke big. How do I do this? See, God has a special instrument designed to penetrate the hardest heart. Okay? It's designed to penetrate the hardest heart and the hardest head. And I know, because I believe I have a relationship with God. If you get down on your knees and say, Lord, listen, I heard that man preach today. And I know I got some struggles in my life and they whooping me up. And if folk find out about what I'm doing, I would be a disgrace to your kingdom and to your church. But I'm coming to you on hands and knees. Lord, give me the power. Give me the grace. Have mercy on me. Give me the power to battle this thing. To battle this thing. And you know what? God is faithful. God is faithful and just.
Amen.
To answer that prayer. Now you may not be delivered from it instantly. He may, I'm gonna go battle with this thing. You may battle with it for 2-3 years. I don't know. You know, I'm not in that situation to tell you, but I know one thing, you better be battling. You better have the boxing gloves on. You better have the boxing gloves on. Let me share this with you now as I close. Because I have a verse. I have a verse. I thought this was interesting. So many. How about Ephesians 2? How about Ephesians 2? Now we can cover Ephesians 2:8-9. For by grace are you saved through faith and not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not by works, lest any man should boast. But sometimes we leave out verse number 10. See, we leave out verse number 10, and we can go through that. You know, for grace are you saved through faith and not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not by works, lest any man should boast. Amen, brother. Verse number 10 of Ephesians 2. See, when God calls you, just like when you guys, you women have these babies need you. Okay? They need you. And they would die without you. They would die without your care and without your love. But we say we children of God and we live like we don't even need a Savior. That's so sad. I look at these babies and y'all know I spiritualize everything. I'm like, what would the little baby do without Jackie? What would Zamaya do without her loving family? What would they do? They would starve to death. And you read about stuff like that. And I know it breaks your heart. I know Jackie and y'all done had these babies now. And when you read stuff like that, it just means something different now. Because you had your own. Amen. It's different now. You know, before you didn't have a child, you're like, oh. Now it's like, oh my God, how can somebody do that? Because Ephesians says this, when you become a child of God. Now watch this now. For we are his workmanship. Okay? He created us. He made us. He saved us. He have a right to demand from us. Amen. For we are his workmanship. Created in Christ Jesus. Unto good works. Unto good works. There's no such thing. Honestly, there's no such thing as a Christian, as a born again believer that is not doing good works. Now, I didn't say church folk. There's a difference now between church folk, okay, and Christians and someone who has been born again. Okay? Because, like I say, everybody Christian. I do my religious assessments. I walk around and everybody Christian. They say, what are you? Christian, Muslim, Jew, Catholic. Christian. You know, I said, who's your pastor? Didn't have a pastor. What church you go? Didn't have a church. You ever been baptized? You ever been born again? I don't even know what born again means. How are you a Christian? Well, my uncle was a Christian. My mama was a Christian. My dog is a Christian. Everybody a Christian. See, you got to see next week when we have first Sunday. 2 weeks. 2 weeks. Minister Brown, make sure you read this verse. Don't read this one. Let a man examine himself. Okay? Make sure we read that one. Because see, there's a personal examination that has to be taken before you can enter into heaven. And the only question you gotta ask on that test is, have I been born again? Or I'm just a Christian? Or I'm just a church folk? I promise I was going to close. For we are his workmanship. Not our own. Not mine. Not the church. Not the pastor. Not your husband. Not your wife. They didn't create you. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. And that word walk means that's to be your very lifestyle. It's every step you take. And you ought to be like, am I giving God glory? Am I giving God glory with this step? Remember when David went to that country to get the Ark of the Covenant and he just haphazardly brought it back and Uriah touched it and struck him down dead. David was like, oh, Lord, have mercy, what happened? He went back and he studied. He studied and learned and found out how he was supposed to deliver the ark back to Jerusalem. And it took a month because they took one step. And then they, however it went, I don't know the verse, but it took them a long time to get there. But they was meticulous and careful of how they walked. And I guess the question would be, if you say you're born again, you ought to walk certainly.